Are words really worse than sticks and stones? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm your host, Alden Thompson, as we continue our series on the Book of James. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas and Pedrito Maynard Reed, also from the Walla Walla School of Theology. And I would like to toss out that question, the leading question, in the light of what James says, because James has some really nasty things to say about the tongue. And I went to
nasty or frank. Straightforward.
James is a prophet, you know.
Oh yes,
and a sage.
There is a little riddle which and I just did a bit of snooping around. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Not true.
That is not true at all. And a couple of versions that I picked up on the internet I think are worth pondering. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will hurt forever. Mm-hmm. And another one, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can kill me.
Mm. Yeah.
So James lights into this with vigor and enthusiasm. Pedrito, why is he so excited, horrified about the tongue?
Because somehow people are using their words and in their tongue, as you saw in chapter 1, that are hurt, that is hurting people, that is causing a lot of damage and hurt and suffering. And that's the only way I can understand that why he's doing it, because of his overall theme of suffering, that there were people, including teachers, that's why he kind of highlight teachers, because that's what we use. And we can use that to just damage people by saying the wrong thing. I have had to apologize to people in my classes simply that I didn't mean to say that, but they took it a certain way, and wow, they hurt with my powerful position. And he's as strong with these people as he was with the rich.
Now, there's a question related to here that I'd like to, since we are teachers, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, how do you recruit teachers with a perspective like that?
Again, James is very strong. It's like asking, will any rich person go to heaven?
James would say no.
And he says, teachers, few of you should, because most of you can't control your tongue. And if there's a teacher that can't control his or her tongue, they shouldn't be teachers, because they affect the future, the life, like hurt forever. You had the quotation there.
Yeah.
And he goes on the illustrations he gives, the fire that it causes. And the fire, you notice that he talks about the fire of hell. This is Gehenna. Gehenna is hardly used in the New Testament, but it's one of the words for hell. Gehenna is that burning place outside of Jerusalem that is constantly burning. It's an everlasting fire because it never goes out. It's that terrible place, and fire speaking is like that.
I like sailing, and I'm intrigued by the ship one.
The rudder?
Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, mm-hmm. wherever the pilot wants it to go.
Yeah. Yep.
If you've ever sailed, you understand the power of a rudder is enormous, if it's properly designed.
And I went sailing with Dave, and I'm just amazed to see him at that boat, I started respecting him after that. No, I always respected Dave, but it's with power.
Alden, I want to go back, because that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I have heard people recite that very bravely, and you realize that they are covering up mm-hmm. the hurt. That's not a true little syllogism or whatever you call it. It actually is a way we recite that when somebody has wounded us. And I would guess that most human beings, and I would be among them, can think back of days where somebody said a word that cut to the core, and even though you have grown beyond it, if you go back and visit that place, it's still a very tender place.
It's amazing how one can remember things from decades before.
Yeah.
A sharp word, a word that's too sharp.
Yeah.
Even if the person apologized and, you made things right, mm-hmm. still.
But an apology does an awful lot to mend that, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, James would say, you can always apologize, you can always speak, but let me see your deeds. Be doers. Okay. How do you act with me now?
So how do you control the tongue?
That's the practical question that I want to press. Because if you read James here, this is an unquenchable fire. You can't do anything out of it. So what do you do? Just go and...
It is a restless evil full of deadly poison.
Let's just go to hell and burn. See? But there's got to be a solution for this. You may have to go outside of James.
And
out of the same mouth come blessings and curses.
Or continue. You see, I think the lesson book outlines James quite different from how I would. I see chapter 3 as all one piece.
So where you move down to two kinds of wisdom.
We come to two kinds of wisdom. And we'll come to that next week. But you get the right kind of wisdom, and that will take care of the tongue. Mm.
Yeah, because, you know, I hear people having all these little techniques like count to 10 before you speak, or bite your tongue, or but in reality, those are frail. I think it has to be an internal function.
That's exactly right.
That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
going to be, yeah.
A transformation of the human heart
really
by the Spirit of God can soften the tongue.
Absolutely. Then you don't just, you know, he calls the tongue in verse 8. No one can tame the tongue.
Yeah.
You know, it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. And the tongue is so vile. Look what he says in verse 9. With it, look what we do. We bless Lord our Father and we curse those who are made in the image of God. We don't even see the juxtaposition. I'm blessing God. Oh, you know, and you're praising God. You go to church and you worship.
You're cursing the ones made in his image.
And you look over and you see somebody who you hate and you cuss them under your breath and wait till you get outside or whenever. And he says, you know, you can't have good water coming out of and bad water coming out of the same spring. Fig tree bearing, you know.
I would like
oranges.
To have seen James when he was preaching this sermon, Pedrito, because I reckon he was flying high.
Oh, my God.
I reckon he was revved up.
Almost like preaching in a black church.
No, he would be James. Like an angry black preacher.
I
mean, let him fly.
And this is, remember now, this is just the outline of his sermon.
Yeah.
He went on for hours.
Yeah. Now, let me press you to go inside the community here. And again, we're not, you know, James doesn't tell us much here. But these are people who are suffering. And does their suffering then turn them against each other? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. There are people who are suffering, various types of suffering, but there are people within the community who are causing the suffering, right? Now, I think the very wealthy, he's not addressing them so much. They're just kind of outside. They're in the community, but he's not addressing them. The people who are teachers and who are using the tongue, I think he's addressing those. Right? And he calls upon them. The people who are showing partiality, he's addressing those. He calls upon them. When he gets to the rich, he doesn't call upon them to change or to do anything. It's like that. So he makes a distinction. But within here, you have people that could have been, some of them could have been poor, that are using their tongues in dangerous ways. And he's saying, you cannot do that. You can't bless God and curse at the same time, because it causes.
Well, now if the rich are really as nasty as James points them out to be, wouldn't you expect the poor to turn this bitter, angry tongue against the rich?
And we're going to look at that when we come to chapter 4.
Okay,
that they do more than just the tongue; they actually go to murder them.
Mm.
And James lashes out at that.
See, and I'm struck by the way this begins here. First of all, he says, not many of you should be teachers. But then he goes immediately to verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal, or we take the shifts. In other words, it almost like the teacher should be guiding the people with the use of the tongue, but they're misusing their tongues themselves, and so therefore they shouldn't even think about being teachers. So.
Yep. And it's in that context that it's, again, it's a context. It's not just he's attacking teachers. It is that.
So
those
I can't
that
just take verses from anywhere and put them with verses from anywhere.
Sorry, brother. Sorry.
Oh, you can, but we don't have to believe you.
Yeah, I know. I was taught there by a teacher who said to be careful how you put verses together, because there is a verse that says that Judas went out and hanged himself. And there's another verse that says, go thou and do likewise.
Yeah.
You better not put them together.
The
Bible says.
I know I can do a lot of things with the Bible.
Pedrito, let's sin against the study outline and go ahead and include verses 13 through 17 or 18 in this context, because you're saying that that section gives us a bit of a clue as to how to sort out the angry tongue.
And you know, we can do a lot of homiletics when we get to that next week. But you look at verse 17, the wisdom that is from above, right?
Mm.
Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits without a trace of partiality and hypocrisy, making peace. When you have those characteristics, that tongue is tamed.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, do you think, Pedrito, that this whole section has to do with teachers?
You know, I think he uses teachers as an illustration.
Okay.
I think he's using his community.
It's his jumping off point.
But it's his jumping off point.
Yeah.
Because those do the more talking. And some of these may be teaching them how to deal with the problems, and it's not being helpful. Yeah.
They're not giving the right kind of wisdom. They're stirring up trouble.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Do you think that the tongue is really looms as large as James make it in today's world?
Oh, my. When you look at social media and how people can rip.
It's worse.
People,
huh?
It's worse. Oh. I mean, I sometimes read the news and then go down to see the comments that are posted, and some of them are astonishing. I mean, I tell people it's amazing how brave a person can be when sitting behind the screen of a computer.
Yeah.
You say things that you would never say in a
just
life
like situation. Behavior when you're behind the wheel of a car.
No, and social media has done some it's wonderful, but it makes people talk and they can do it anonymously.
Yeah. You don't have to put your name, you can just
I see some language of some not just the non-Christian. I'm talking sometimes by my fellow conservative Christian speaking in the name of God, and the way they rip into persons, not issues.
Yeah, I heard of a letter this last week of a man who a prominent scientist was dying of. He had cancer, and actually had come to the point where he was asking about eternal destinies, and he completely shut the subject off because somebody wrote a letter and said, I have read about your evolution and your atheism, and I'm praying that you will die of cancer and burn in hell, signed by a sincere Christian. And he was all done at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James would have a terrible time with those of us. Of course, I read these texts, of course, for myself. Not just to say, hey, you need to shut up. I need to look at my tongue and how I use words every day in classroom and even in friendly relationships.
Yeah. We'll need to continue this discussion. Next week's topic, the humility of heavenly wisdom. Dave and Pedrito will be with us again. My thanks to David Olson, our program engineer, to all of you for listening in for The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.